Mark chapter 14, and then also if you'll put a finger in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to jump back around to Mark 11 later. So we're going to be in Mark and Luke this morning. Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, as we turn to your word, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place be pleasing to you. For you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. As we turn to these ancient words, would your spirit make them alive in us? And so as we read and as we commit, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like the kids, I'm going to ask you for the same favor this morning. Would you close your eyes for just a minute? Not even a minute. You're all giving me that look like I hate when you do this. I know you do. But just for a minute, would you close your eyes? And would you go somewhere with me? It's been a long day at work. The demands and expectations exceeded the number of hours you had to give. You're tired, feeling the pull of leaving too much undone. You just need to go to that place that helps you let go. Where do you land? It's a free day on the calendar. There's nowhere you have to be, nothing you have to do. You finally get to hang out with who you want, where you want. Where are you? You've messed up. You know that you failed to live up to some expectations. You try to find that place where your shortcomings won't be held against you. Where is that place for you? Finally, someone says, describe your home. What do you picture? How do you describe it? Then they say, no, not that home necessarily, but that place on earth where your heart feels most at home. What do you see? Is it the same place? Where is your place? You can open your eyes. You see, we all need these favorite places on earth. These places where we can just come and kick up our feet. Those places where we can land after a long day. Those places where we know the porch light is going to be on until we pull up. Those places where we know there's going to be a place set at the table that everyone just knows that's your place. We all need places in the world where people aren't asking us to come and perform or achieve anything, do anything at all, but places where we're just invited to come and to be. I've got some places like this. Do you? When life is overwhelming, just like Nick, I often catch my breath and get this whole new perspective on the top of some kind of mountain. Because it turns out that sometimes in ministry, after 7 days of work, you wonder if you're succeeding at anything at all. And sometimes I just have to conquer a big rock and stand on top of it to feel like I'm at least doing something in this world. After a long day when I've just been spinning my wheels and I just need to just get out of the rat race, my place is my couch with my dog. And sometimes something really mindless on TV, like The Voice or my favorite Pawn Stars. There's great history in that show. You ever watched it? There's no one to answer to. There's no fire to put out. There's no problem to solve. My couch can be my place. Sometimes my place, when I feel like I've been misunderstood, when I feel all alone, is on the phone with my sister or my best friend. Those people in the world who have known me the longest and who always get my heart. And most importantly, those people who are always ready just to listen to me. We all need these kind of places in the world, our favorite places. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed a favorite place on earth. And he had it. You know what it is? It was this little nothing town called Bethany. What was it that made Bethany Jesus' place of all the places? Several things. We get hints of what Bethany was known for in Mark 14. In verse 3, it says, while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman, who we learn from John is Mary, came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment. And she goes on to anoint his head, and some disciples get really upset at him, saying, this money could have been used in better ways. It could have been used for the poor. And Jesus says to them, let her alone. She has done a good service for me, for you're always going to have the poor with you, but you're not always going to have me. What does that tell us about Bethany? Some things are there, some things between the lines. Bethany was a town settled by Galileans who wanted a place nearer to Jerusalem, 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem to be exact. And if you remember, Jesus was a Galilean. And so in Bethany, he would run into folks who had his same accent. Like when I hear people in Washington say, y'all, I'm like, where are you from? That is my place. In Bethany, there were folks who liked their barbecue the same way that he did. When they said barbecue, they actually meant barbecue and not a hamburger on a grill. When people from the same place are displaced, if you watch it, it's so interesting. They begin to find bonds with others that are like them in that brand new place. People that they would have never been friends with back in their old home. And that's why you see these pockets of people from the same cultures, the same countries, how they move to America and they still congregate together in their similar places. Because we all like to be around people who get us. People who share the same home. The best 4th of July I've ever experienced. Do you want to guess where it was? Not Texas, not my house, Egypt. Egypt. Because on the 4th of July in Cairo, Egypt, the American embassy opens their doors to anyone with that little blue passport. And on that one day of the year, all these displaced Americans who are spread all over this foreign land, they enter into these pearly gates of the American embassy. And here they step into this land of endless hot dogs and pepperoni pizza and popcorn and country music. As the night concluded on that 4th of July, you could hear these 200 Americans all belting out the Star-Spangled Banner like we were long-lost brothers and sisters. These were people as different as could be, poor missionaries like myself and these super-rich oil company CEOs. It mattered not. On that night, we were all best friends and we were all neighbors because we were Americans in Egypt. Your place is where people who grew up singing the same songs you sang hang out. It's where you find people who eat the same food that you eat, who used to watch the same Saturday morning cartoons that you used to watch. Your place is where they come together and congregate. Bethany, a town full of Galileans, was Jesus' place. And not just because folks were there from his zip code. Jesus was never that surfacey, right? There's more to it. Bethany, in that day and time, was known as an almshouse. What does that mean, you ask? It means it was the place identified as the place where the poor and sick could come to be treated with dignity. History believes that the Essenes, they're this group of Jews who took special interest in caring for the needy, that they set up hospice in Bethany. That's why it's from this town that Jesus says the poor will always be with you. This is true anywhere, but especially in Bethany, a town made especially for them to come. And this is why Jesus eats a meal at the home of Simon the leper. That's not his job, that's his condition. In Bethany, broken, desperate people hung out there. So not only was Jesus' place the place that spoke with the same accent as him, it was the place that spoke the same heart language too. You see, Jesus was most at home not with religious scholars and aristocrats, not with pastors and preachers, but with the sick and the hurting. If you remember one time Jesus asked, "Who needs a doctor?" Not the well, but the sick. And he said, "That's who I've come for." Bethany was the place where people talked like him, and more, Bethany was the place where people's hearts were moved by the very same things that moved the heart of Jesus. And that made Bethany his favorite place on earth. And you know what? I believe Jesus is still always looking for his Bethany. Might he find it among us? As we learn to speak his language, as our hearts beat as his own. What more about Bethany? Notice, it's where his very best friends could be found. Two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Notice what these three are not. Disciples. These are not the people that Jesus had to show up and go to work with. That was not his best friends. No, these ones were just his friends. They were actually probably the only people in the world that he could vent to about his disciples. Hey, Lazarus, you want to hear how Peter stuck his foot in his mouth again today? Pull up a chair. I got a story for you. Hey, Mary, Martha, guess what these guys are asking me to do now? Can you believe it? Are they ever going to get it? We see Jesus just hanging out with these three several times in the Gospels. Once is at that dinner at Simon's house. John 12 notes that Lazarus is at the table with Jesus that night, and Martha is the one serving the meal, and Mary is the one who comes in to anoint him. It was just a dinner with his best buds. There's a similar story, but a bit different, in Luke chapter 10. Verse 38 says, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying." You see, as you begin to read the Gospels, it won't be long before you notice that it seems any time Jesus was anywhere near Jerusalem, he intentionally stepped aside and made that 2-mile jaunt to Bethany, where he knew he could just be. Mind you, this is well before the time of phones. And so anytime Jesus would show up at this little home in Bethany, it had to have been unannounced. How many places on this earth do you feel comfortable just popping in like that? If you've got them, those are your Bethanies. I can imagine one of those long days in Jerusalem when Jesus is teaching, pouring his heart out, and people just aren't getting him as usual. One of those days when the disciples break his heart with requests that he might let them be vice president in his kingdom. I can imagine on those days when they thought that, when they asked him, "Jesus, what might we get in return for hanging out with you? What are you going to do for us?" I can imagine on those days when he was feeling especially used, especially lonely in this great crowd of people. Jesus in the evening, quietly making that 2-mile walk to that little house in Bethany. Weary, shaking his head, kicking the dust around as he walked, frustrated. And I can imagine from a hillside a little ways away, he could see it. He could see it. The porch light was on, just in case he might be passing by. And I can imagine as he gets close, he would peek in the window and he would see it. He would see it. That one seat at the table that's always his seat is empty. And there's a place setting ready for him just in case he might be home for dinner. I can imagine as he steps up to the door and does knock, knock. Before he even gets the third knockout, Mary flings the door open and says, "You're here. You guys, he's here." And Martha scurries onto the kitchen to begin cooking his favorite meal. And Lazarus pours a glass of wine and pulls out those special cigars that he saves for these nights when Jesus comes knocking. It's 2,000 years ago, no Surgeon General warning. It's okay. I can see it. Can you see it? The Son of Man, who once grieved having no place to lay his head, had one little home in the world with a little bedroom with his name on it. He had one place where he could always belong. He had one place where he knew they were always ready to sit at his feet or at his table and not ask a thing of him, just eager to listen. "Jesus, how was your day?" When's the last time we asked Jesus that? "Jesus, you're giddy. What happened today to make you smile?" When's the last time we asked Jesus that? "Jesus, you're quiet. Your face is long. What's breaking your heart tonight, Jesus?" When's the last time we asked our Jesus that? "Jesus, what are your hopes for tomorrow? What are your plans? Jesus, you look tired. If you just want to drink your tea and not talk, that's okay. Jesus, I'm just so glad you came home tonight." What made Bethany Jesus' favorite place on earth? Three words: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. His best friends, who always had a room ready for him, who loved nothing more than just to let him be. And you know, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is still always looking for his Bethany. Might he find it among us? He has called us friends. Might we live up to that divine calling. There's still more we know about Bethany. In John 11, it's a long chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing. But in John 11, Lazarus is sick. You know this story. Mary and Martha get word to him. They say, "Jesus, the one you love," even they knew he loved him, "Jesus, the one you love is ill and he needs you." And John says, even though Jesus loved Mary and Martha, he didn't go to save Lazarus right away. So what happens? Lazarus dies. And Mary and Martha are distraught. They both meet Jesus separately on his way to Bethany. And both of them say, "If you would have come when we called you, if you would have gotten here sooner, this would not have happened, Jesus." And when Mary says it, that is the one time in all of Scripture that we see Jesus weep over a person. He bawls his eyes out. He bawls his eyes out for his friend who has died and for his best friend who is heartbroken. Do you believe that Jesus weeps with you, his friend? And do you weep with Jesus, your friend? Because best friends weep together. Jesus still goes on to Bethany. He will soon raise Lazarus from the dead, as you know, but nobody else knows this yet. And even still, Mary and Martha invite Jesus to come and see, to come and be with them in their tender place. Even, get this, guys, even when Jesus has let them down, even when Jesus doesn't do anything that they begged him to do, even when on the inside they are as mad at Jesus as they could be, even still they let him come to the tomb where their brother's body lay. Why did Jesus love Bethany? Because the people there loved him, even when he didn't do what they thought he should do. That made this little town Jesus' favorite place on earth. think of how many others in scriptures didn't get what they wanted from Jesus, and they just walked away. The rich young ruler, "Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? I've done this and this and this. Am I done? Sell everything you have and give to the poor." And he walked away sad because he had many possessions. Didn't get the answer he wanted from Jesus, and so away he went. And that wouldn't be the last back that Jesus saw in his time on earth. All the time, people not getting their way with him, and away they go, pouting, shaking their fist, saying, "I'm done with you, Jesus, until you come and meet me on my terms." Thank goodness it only happened back then and not now. But you know, not so in Bethany. Mary and Martha, their brother is dead, and Jesus didn't save him. They didn't get their way. And even still, Jesus, come and see where he lay. Jesus, you're invited into this space with us. That's why Jesus loved Bethany. And you know, I believe that Jesus is still always looking for his Bethany. Might he find it among us? Even as we say, "You know, that's not how I thought things would go, Jesus." But even still, you're invited into this place with me. There's one more story that tells us why Bethany was such a special place to Jesus. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find tied there a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me." The morning before Jesus would ride into Jerusalem and be exalted as king, Jesus starts his day in Bethany. That's where the disciples get the instructions about how this day is going to go. And from Bethany, he makes that first entrance into Jerusalem on this holy week. This is the day that will kick off his very last week on earth. This is the day where he is praised as a king in the city. And then verse 11 tells us how that day ends. After this great parade, it says he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. He takes a good look at the temple, distraught by what he sees. And then Jesus says, "I've had enough." And he calls it a day. And he goes back to Bethany for the night. You see, it would seem on this celebration day when everyone worshiped him as king that Jesus knew in his heart that they didn't know. They didn't know that he wasn't going to be the kind of king they had in mind. They were thinking on that day of this king who would seize the throne and overthrow the Romans and lead a coup and give Israel back their esteemed place of power in the world. They weren't looking for a kind of king who would let himself be arrested and tried and crucified. He knew, even as they praised him that day, that they didn't have a clue who he was or what he was about. He knew that day in Jerusalem that the same ones who were waving palm branches, singing Hosanna, would be throwing their whips, yelling, "Crucify him," in just a few days. He knew that they were only choosing to know the parts of him that they wanted to know, the parts of him that might fulfill their own prophecies, that might meet their own selfish needs. And so rather than sit there and soak up their praises and take his seat at the city square that night, what did Jesus do but retreat back to Bethany? Head back to that home where Mary had already anointed him for burial. He went back to someone who knew, who really knew what kind of king he was. The sacrificial lamb kind of king. He went back to that place where he was welcome to be whatever kind of king he saw fit to be. He went back to that place with the people who really knew him and who loved him just the same. That's why Jesus loved Bethany. And you know, I believe Jesus is still always looking for his Bethany. Might he find it among us? As we say, Jesus, here in my life, you can be whatever kind of king you want to be, and I will love you just the same. And you know, I bet you that he went back to Bethany every single night of that last week on earth, until that night he was in the garden, sweating drops of blood. Father, take this cup from me. Until that night he was arrested, the beginning of the end. As Jesus walked closer and closer to the cross that week, I imagine he just kept walking 2 miles back east of it to the one place in the world that kept calling his name in the midst of his very own storm. You see, Jesus had calmed everyone else's storms on earth, and now there was a storm in his own heart that he couldn't still. And so night after night of that holy week, I imagine Jesus dragged his weary body back to that place where he could lay his head and eat Martha's home cooking. That place where Mary would just hold him and catch his tears. That place where Lazarus would play a card game with him to get his mind off the storm. When his heart was breaking, when his knees were trembling, when his hands were shaking, when his grief was all-consuming, Bethany was the one place Jesus found that he wasn't alone in his storm. It was the one place that folks weren't so focused on their own storms that they neglected to hold Jesus in his. When's the last time you wept? Not over your own grief, but over a grief on Jesus' heart that he trusted you enough to share with you. That's how you know you're his Bethany. If Jesus lets you hold him in his storms. Ever thought of that? You know, I believe Jesus is still always looking for his Bethany. Might he find it among us as we join arms with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and together hold our Savior when he needs to be held. His heart breaks too, you know. Might we be the Bethany that holds his heart for him, that rides the storm with him. Might Jesus find his favorite place among us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that my life would be your favorite place to hang out. That our lives might be a place you can come and be whatever kind of king you want to be. Even one that calls us on the road to the cross. That our lives might be a place where you can come and just kick up your feet and have some people in the world who ask you how you're doing, how your day was, what's on your heart. Everywhere you go, Jesus, everyone's asking everything of you, and you receive that. But might we be a Bethany where you might even get to ask some things of us. Even if it's just for a place to rest for a while. Jesus, might we be a Bethany to you, where our hearts are so aligned with yours that we know what is breaking you, and that we commit to be in that storm with you until the waters have calmed and everyone knows that you are Lord. Lord Jesus, even as we ask of you, might we be thrilled each and every time you knock on the doors of our heart and say, I'm home. I just thought I'd drop by tonight to hang out. Might we cook a meal for you? Might we pull up a chair? And might you know that we have been longing for this visit all along. And when you come, Might you be so happy in this favorite place that is our lives that you just choose to stay for a long, long while. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.